podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? We're going to be reading verses 12 to 14. And if you have a pew Bible, that's on page 834, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take your word this morning and use it, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Father, to soften us, to remind us indeed that Jesus loves us. And Father, that we might be more generous toward one another because we have a God who is so generous and gracious toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our series of messages this morning on dealing. And so far, we have dealt with disappointment and illness, sorrow, doubt, and temptation. And aren't you glad that we got all of those things conquered? All that stuff's behind us now, right? We can move ahead. So that completes the top row of our emojis. And this morning, we're going to continue with a problem that develops whenever we get stuck in one of the other problems. And that is bitterness. Bitterness. Now, if you were to look up in the dictionary, bitterness, the first definition would be a literal definition having to do with taste. Right? Bitterness is a sharpness of taste, or it is a lack of sweetness. Used in a sentence, the lime juice imparts a slight bitterness. You've not seen bitterness, however, until you've watched a baby take his or her first suck on a lemon, right? That is the description of bitterness right there. Doesn't get any better than that or worse than that. But there's also a second definition of bitterness that's not about the literal, but it's about what takes place in your heart. The bitterness that takes place on the inside, and that is defined as anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Resentment is another word for bitterness. He expressed bitterness over his dismissal without notice. And I'm sure you have faced circumstances in your life where you have experienced this resentment, this anger, this disappointment, because things did not go the way that you thought they should go. And you were treated unfairly. Bitterness affects the soul. The soul. So while adults might not make the same faces that babies make when they're sucking on lemons, we do face situations in our life where we cringe inside. And we all recognize that feeling, that emotion, because we really have no control over the emotion. If you are harboring a bitter spirit this morning, a resentment that is always there. It resides beneath the surface. It's a hurt in your life that has turned sour and poisons everything else in your world. Then I think you're in a good place this morning because the Lord gives us some answers to this problem. And there are ways to deal with it. So first, let's figure out how you got there. With a recipe for bitterness. The recipe for bitterness begins like this. Bitterness comes as a result of a combination of different ingredients, right? You have to put all of these ingredients together and it results in bitterness. First of all, the first ingredient is a broken world, right? The entire world system that we live in, that we swim in every day, that we drive in, that we try to exist in. This entire world system has been affected by the curse of sin, And things in this world are not as they should be. They are not the way that God created them to be, because sin has entered the world and the world suffers the curse of sin. And sometimes it seems as if nothing is going your way. Have you ever felt that way? Nothing is going my way. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 talks about this. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The whole creation is groaning in pain. It's broken. Things are not what they should be because of the curse of sin. The second ingredient, add to the broken world, broken people. Because every person on the face of this planet is a sinner. And we've all turned away from God, and we all want our will, our way. We want our purpose. We want our own glory. And this is the way that we are broken. That's not how we were created by God, though. See, we were created by God to follow His way, to do His purpose, to seek His will and His glory. But we're broken. And so instead of it being about God, it's about us. Instead of God being on the throne of our hearts and of our lives, it's about us. And we are broken. And we have experienced time and time again the sorrow and the failure and the disappointment of things not going the way that we want them to go. Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 10, says, As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So we recognize that we are broken people who live in a broken world. So in addition to things not going your way, you have the fact that you have pushed your Creator out of the picture and you've made yourself God over this broken world. And let's face it, we take ourselves way too seriously in life. And we take God not seriously enough. Add a third ingredient to the broken world and the broken people, broken relationships. It's amazing, isn't it, that the people around me don't understand how important I am? It's amazing how the people around me just don't get the fact that I'm the one on the throne, that they seem to think that they're important too. And so, if we live in a world where we all think that we are the most important, there's going to be a problem. There are going to be broken relationships. Put broken people together in a broken world, and that is exactly what you get. Broken relationships. We hurt each other over and over and over again, trying to push and get our own way. You were created by God to do His will, to worship Him above all others. You were created by God to do His will by loving others, right? By surrendering to others, by treating others better than you treat yourself. You were created by God in the image of Christ as humble and meek and sacrificial, thinking about the needs of others before you even think of your own needs. But instead, because we live in a broken world full of broken people and broken relationships, we are tempted to worship ourselves. And in addition to that, we are tempted to use the other people in our world to get our way, and then we forget about God altogether. We only bring Him up when it's convenient. We only bring Him up when we need something. Now take a cup of broken world, mix it with a cup of broken people, and mix that in with broken relationships. Mix it all together thoroughly. Mix it together. And then sprinkle in a dash of heartbreak that we experience in this world, because time and time again we see trouble. And then a liberal pinch of disappointment over all of the things that bother us. And then grate in a bit of distress, because we experience all sorts of things that we didn't expect day after day after day. Put all of that together, and now you have a broken heart. Now take that broken heart and set it aside for a while in a cool, dark place. No conversation with anyone, just all alone. No prayers to God, no help, just woe is me. Just put it in a cold, dark, pitiful place. And just set that broken heart aside to just stew for a while, you know? To just stew in its own juices. Just wait for it to begin to fester and to begin to rise. For the yeast of evil and sin within this broken heart to just continue to ripen until it's really, really good in the darkness all alone. And now you've got it. Full-blown bitterness of the soul. And that's how you get there. It's a combination of our worldly troubles, not handling our worldly troubles very well, and then ignoring God's will for us in the midst of what we're supposed to be doing in this world, and we end up bitter at the very core of our hearts. Now, lest you think you are okay to live in that bitterness, and it's all right to harbor that, let me show you what the risks are of bitterness. The first risk of bitterness is a bitter perspective, because bitterness becomes a pair of glasses through which you view the entire world. If you have a bitter spirit, you're not wearing rose-colored glasses, you're wearing gross-colored glasses. So everything you see takes on the flavor of bitterness. Everything that happens, everything that you encounter, everything you hear is tinged unfairly with bitterness. Every person that you meet, every news story that you hear coming over the wire, your thoughts about the future and what might happen tomorrow, it is all colored by your bitterness. And a bitter soul provides us with a bitter perspective on life. Risk number two is bitter pollution. Because you know that if you have experienced bitterness, you realize that it's very hard to keep it to yourself, isn't it? No, it seeps into the groundwater of your life. It is a pollution, bitterness. It is a poison that can affect everyone around you. And you know this is true. Now you know it's not true about you. It's true about somebody else. Because you know somebody in your world that has been bitter. Maybe it's a family member who's very close to you, and their bitterness has completely changed the dynamic of your world. Because you have to hear from them and experience them day in and day out. And the bitterness is so strong. I know about pollution because I grew up in central New Jersey. And just so you know, I left New Jersey, so no hard feelings on my part. But my parents are visiting from New Jersey. You may have to talk to them. But just so you know, My dad served in the Marines, and they were stationed in Hawaii, so they can tell you a little bit about their time in Hawaii, too. I don't know how we're getting so far away from the topic here, but I know about pollution. The borough that I lived in and pastored in for 8 years in New Jersey was known for pollutants, right? The name of the town was Manville, the Johns Manville plant. The asbestos plant was right there in the town. And I've told you before about the asbestos and how moms and dads would come home from the asbestos plant with it in their hair and all over their clothes and infecting the entire town and in area. Well, it's of course was buried underground, became a Superfund site, and then years later they realized, oh, right up the street from the asbestos plant, that they also had another facility that where they were preparing telephone poles, and they had lagoons in which they would dip these telephone poles, and the lagoons were filled with a substance called creosote, and creosote is also a cancer-causing chemical, apparently, and so that got into the groundwater. So here you had a town with asbestos flying around in the streets and creosote in the groundwater. You can understand how people became sick and ill and died of unexplained things during the history of that borough. Bitterness is like that. It's a poison that resides beneath, inside of us, in our soul, and it is infectious, and it is poison, and it pollutes everyone around us. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18, Moses warned about this, speaking for the Lord. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. And then in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, when it's talking about a bitter root, you ask the question, well, what is that? Is it an attitude? Is it a person? Is it me? A bitter root can infect the entire congregation, cause trouble, and be spread. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is a very popular verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And if your heart is filled with bitterness, guess what's going to flow from your heart into the hearts of others? Bitterness. So the toxicity of this bitterness seeps into the groundwater of your life and it affects everyone you know. It spreads through your marriage. It spreads through your family. It spreads through the church, the body of Christ. It spreads through the entire community. Whole cultures can be affected by bitterness. I might even risk to say that the United States of America at this time in its history is a very bitter culture, because everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants their way. And we're coming head to head with one another. Court cases, all sorts of things, because everybody wants their rights and they could care less about the rights of others. And that's the bitterness with which we live. But don't get bitter about that, okay? It's important that we don't even let that cause us to be bitter. Risk number three is bitter produce, right? Because where the soil is bitter, you will have bitter fruit. You are aware that the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Right? We talk about the fruit of the Spirit from the book of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We could go on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these great fruits that grow through the life of a person who is committed to God and the Holy Spirit is thriving in them. And you can tell a Christian apart from the rest of the world because of that fruit. There's another spirit at work producing bitter fruit. In fact, the same chapter where we find the fruit of the Spirit, we find another type of fruit. Galatians 5:20 talks about hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And that is the fruit of a spirit of bitterness. Because bitter is as bitter does. Or you might say, from bitter roots spring bitter fruits. Bitter people are mean. They are cranky. They are spiteful. They are ungodly. And some of them think that their bitterness is righteous indignation. I have a right to my bitterness. But they have spoiled well beyond righteous indignation. So when we as God's people who are saved by His grace, saved by His kindness and His love for us that Elaine just sang about, those of us who are saved by the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, who are forgiven completely by God, God has been so gracious to us to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins and not to require anything of us but to believe in Him. When we, as those people, God's people, choose bitterness, we are far outside of God's will, because that's not how we have been created, and that's not how we have been recreated. That's not why God chose us to be born, and certainly not why we've been born again. We're just wrong. We are living in sin when we choose bitterness. Now you might say, but Pastor Jack, wait a second. You don't understand. This country that we live in, I mean, have you been following the news cycle? Haven't you even watched what's going on in our world? We've got Obama, and then we got Trump and Clinton, right? And we don't know who's going to go into the bathrooms, right? We don't know any of this. You don't understand, Pastor Jack, all of this stuff that's going on in our culture. And we're watching the news, right? We've got it playing in our cars, and we've got it showing in our homes, and we pull up Facebook, and our friends are pointing out stories to us. You don't know all the horrible, terrible things that are going on around the world, Pastor Jack. We have a right to be bitter, don't we? You don't understand, Pastor Jack, that what I've been through divorce. I've been through death in my family. I'm still suffering grief. There's family drama taking place at home, and I don't even feel comfortable coming home anymore. I've got troubles with money. I don't know if I'm going to have my job beyond this week. You got to understand, there are plenty of reasons for bitterness. Let me give you some reminders from Scripture. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Have we seen that verse before in this series of messages? Yes, we have, in case you don't remember. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, set all that stuff aside. In fact, if I could give you a little piece of advice, it would be this. Drop the remote. Step away from the 24-hour news cycle. You know, there was a good old day back in the day, I can remember, because I used to deliver newspapers, where people would spend their entire day without knowing the news. They would come home and they would pick up the paper and they might glance at the headlines, read it here and there. They might turn on Walter Cronkite or whoever was on that night and watch just a little brief segment of the news, and that was it. We live in a day now where people are pinned to the news. That's all they watch all day long. Everywhere you go, it's on. When you go to wait for your car, they've got the news going. When you go to the gas station, sometimes you're filling up and the news pops up. Have you been to one of those fancy gas stations that has the TVs? You go to the Y to work out and to run on the treadmill and the news is on and you can't get away from it. And all they do is give you these stories of trouble that's happening in our world. Why? Because they need to be able to pay the people who advertise on their station. And they're going to give you the most provocative news they possibly can so you will keep tuning in. And so we get all bent out of shape about the news of the day. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about what's happening in our nation. I'm just saying, if you watch that 24/7 and never pick up the Word of God, you will be a bitter, bitter person. I guarantee it. So drop the remote. Put the computer aside for a little while. Take your smartphone and put it on your Bible app. And spend some time with the Lord. And get on your knees and pray. Because we need to diffuse some of this bitterness. Because believers in Christ, we weren't made to be bitter. We were made to reflect the beauty of Jesus Christ. And if there's one thing you could never say about Jesus Christ as you read all four Gospels is, boy, he was bitter, wasn't he? Absolutely not. He went to the cross with love for you and I. So what is the remedy for bitterness? Well, here we are in Colossians chapter 3, the passage we just read, and I want to point some things out to you. First of all, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. The remedy for bitterness first is know who you are. Know who you are, right? First of all, you are chosen by God. You are God's chosen people. The Greek word is electoi, from which we get our word to elect, election. I know that there are lots of opinions about how God chooses us and how that whole thing works out. God's sovereignty versus our free will. Guess what? We're not going there today at all. But understand this, the Bible teaches us that we are chosen by God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are one of the elect church. So understand that that is truth from God's word. Now, how that happens, we can argue about that until Christ comes back and tells us the truth. But in the meantime, just know that you are chosen by God. Know that you are chosen by Him. What are you chosen for? Right? It says right there, as God's chosen people, holy, you are set apart by God to be pure. You are His special possession. When God saved you and called you into His family and set you apart, He made you to be His special possession. And then it says you are elect or chosen, holy, and you are dearly loved. This is what Elaine was singing about, right? How much are you loved? Look at the cross. That's how much you are loved. God loves you so much that He did everything He can to bring you into His family, to save you. And you, by putting your faith in Him, are forgiven of your sin, and you will spend eternity with Him. A beautiful thought that this is who we are. So it's not all about avoiding bitterness in order that we might earn God's love. That's not what I'm talking about at all. So don't hear that this morning. What I'm saying is that we need to avoid bitterness because God loves us. Because of who God has recreated us to be, we should not display bitterness. There is no place for bitterness when you know who you are in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the remedy for bitterness is to dress the part. Dress the part, right? This section of the book of Colossians talks about some things that we need to put off and some things that we need to put on, like clothing, right? Some attitudes that should be put off from Christians and some that should be put on Christians. The Message version, Eugene Peterson wrote, "Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you." That's what we do. We need to dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for us. What does that wardrobe look like? Well, here it is. Verse 12, "Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another." That's not bitterness. There is no bitterness in there. It's talking about being compassionate, which means that when you see a person in need, your eyes fill with tears, not with condemnation or anger or hatred. Your eyes fill with tears of sorrow. Kindness is when you have that compassion, you act on it. You do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, as Jesus said. Humility, you think of others as if they were Christ, right? You humble yourself and you realize that God is on the throne, and so when you see others, you put them first. Gentleness is you give people a chance in life to fail. People make mistakes. Be gentle with them as you would have them to be gentle with you. And be patient. Recognize that we all live in this broken world and we all face all types of difficulties all day long. And just give people the same respect you would want for yourself. Be patient with them. Give them the opportunity day by day by day to live with them. And even though they hurt us, to continue to give them love, because this is who Christ is. And we are the body of Christ. But also we need to free the hostages. You need to free your hostages. In this passage of Scripture, it says, "Bear with each other," verse 13, "and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." See, much of our bitterness comes from the prison that we have set up in our heart. That this prison is full of the people who have wronged us throughout the course of our life. And we lock them up in the prison of our heart and we keep them there. And we say, "I will not forgive you." The great theologian Buddy Hackett once said, "I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? While you're carrying a grudge, they're out dancing." Ever thought of that? That before? So here you are, all bitter and unforgiving, and you've got them locked up in your heart. "I will never, ever forgive that person. They hurt me so bad, I will never forget." So while you've got them locked up and you're all bitter and you're suffering, and you continue to have to feed them while they're in the prison of your heart and provide cable TV and a place to work out and all the stuff you provide prisoners, all the time you're feeding this unforgiveness, they're out living their life and they have no idea. They could care less about the bitterness that you're experiencing. They don't know. So why waste your time on holding them in your inner prison? Just let them go as Christ forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. if any of you has a grievance against someone. You know, it doesn't say, but wait for them to come on hand and knee and ask for that forgiveness. Don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. Don't hold them in your prison waiting for them to come, because they don't care. They're out dancing, according to Buddy Hackett, right? So allow them forgiveness. Grant them forgiveness and say, look, you don't deserve this forgiveness, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because guess what? I didn't deserve forgiveness either, but Jesus died on the cross anyway, in my place. Tony Evans tells a great story about two monks who were walking through the countryside, and they were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops at that village. And as they walked, they spotted an old woman sitting at the edge of a river, and she was upset because there was no bridge to get to the other side, and she couldn't get across on her own because the river was swift and deep. So the first monk kindly offered, saying, you know, we will carry you across if you like. Thank you, she said. And so the two monks joined hands, lifted her between them, and they carried her across the river. And when they got to the other side, they set her down and she went on her way. Now, after they had walked about another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. Look at my clothes, he said. They're filthy. They're filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff. And the first monk just kind of smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second monk started to gripe again. He said, my back is hurting even more badly. And it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I can't go any further because the pain is so intense. And the first monk looked down at his partner, who was now lying on the ground and moaning and complaining, and said, have you wondered why I'm not complaining? He said, your back hurts because you are still carrying that woman, but I set her down 5 miles ago. And that is why many of us deal in our families and in our relationships and in our lives with such bitterness, because we continue to carry the grudge long after the time when we should have dropped it. So free your hostages, because holding a grudge doesn't solve anything. It's time to stop carrying that stuff around. It's not doing anybody any good. Truth be told, it's hurting you worse than anybody else. Christ forgave you of so much more than anything that anybody has perpetrated against you. And if he can forgive you of the things that you have done, then you can forgive anyone. Finally, the passage ends with these words, verse 14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So while you are clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving one another, while you're putting all of those garments on, it says, put on love, which binds them all together. So pull it together. Pull the wardrobe together with love. That is the one accessory, right, that pulls the whole outfit together. Now, some of the ladies know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys are like me, you have no idea what that means. But basically, it's like this, okay? You have this one accessory in your closet, you know, that you put on your outfit, and maybe it's a scarf or a necklace or a handbag or something. But once you put that thing on, it pulls the whole outfit together. Take that off and nothing makes sense, right? Some of you guys have ties like that, so you do know what I'm talking about. You put that tie on and suddenly it all comes together, right? That's what love is. Love is the virtue that takes all of these other virtues and brings them together. It is the robe that you place on top of all of these other virtues because they don't make sense apart from it. That is love. It says, above all other things, over all of these, put on love. And what will happen? What will happen to your bitterness? Look at verse 15, the verse we didn't read. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. The bitterness will go away.